Meet the Spenders. Mr. and Miss Spender are on their way to work. You can't see them, but they look awfully snazzy in their suits they wear on the job each day. The ones that pay them to sit in traffic in cars that they're still paying for in order to get the job they need to pay for the clothes in the cars and the house they leave vacant all day so they can afford to live in it. It does sound ludicrous when you think about it like that. And it's easier than ever to buy whatever stuff we want, when we want it, than ever before.
If we don't make the decision to align our priorities with the priorities of the kingdom of God, we can talk about materialism all we want. We will always be seduced by stuff.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. There tends to be this belief that material possessions improve our personal and social well-being. And this week, Charles Tapp debunks this myth and gets to the root cause of why we're so seduced by stuff. As he continues with the third part in this series, God versus Money, A Battle for the Heart, with his message, The Seduction of Stuff.
For those of you who may have missed the first two messages, or for those of us that just need a kind reminder, I just want to begin today by sharing briefly with you what this series is really all about. First of all, we recognize that it has its foundation in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. And if you know anything about the Sermon on the Mount, it comprises one-third of Christ's entire sermon. And as we said before, the essence of the message of the Sermon on the Mount is simply about what God expects from those of us who have made the decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, thereby granting us access to become citizens of the kingdom of God. And in the portion that we've been focusing on for the last couple of weeks in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and onward, we see that Jesus' primary goal here is to get his audience to understand that being a disciple, that being a learner, that being one of his followers means that we must be willing to accept the fact that there is a very clear distinction between what a citizen of the kingdom should place value in versus those who are citizens of the kingdom of this world. For you see, those who are citizens of the kingdom of this world possess great value or worth in the things that are temporary. And by making a distinction here, Jesus, what he is really doing is helping us to understand that in this world, there is a reality of two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God that exists in this world, but then there is also the kingdom of this world. And because the idea behind kingdom is all about rulership, it is basically a battle between two opposing forces to see which king can reign in that person's life, in your life and in my life. It is a battle for the right to reign. And depending on what you and I regard as treasure, depending on what we really place value on, reveals to a very large degree which kingdom we are a part of. Now, let me just pause to say this, because some of you may have gotten the wrong idea. This message, this series, is not an indictment on money. Amen? It is not an indictment on wealth. Neither is this series an indictment on all the things that money can buy and bring into our lives. And it is surely not an indictment on the people who possess a great deal of money. But rather, it is, somebody said amen. Rather, it is about the distinction that Jesus makes to what truly has worth, value in his kingdom. For you see, in the kingdom of this world, Success is measured by one's wealth. It is measured by our accomplishments. It is measured by our fame. It's even measured in some arenas by how many likes you have on your social media page. It is measured by athletic ability, and it is even measured by beauty. By the way, all of these over time will diminish. And I love what Francis of Assisi has to say about all of this. He says, men lose all material things they leave behind then in this world, but they carry with them the reward of their charity and the alms that they give. Anything else, it is left behind. And what's so sad is that many Christians have adopted the values of the kingdom of this world rather than governing their lives by the value system of the kingdom of God. And this is dangerous for several reasons. But in Matthew chapter 6, as we learned on last week, Jesus gives us three reasons why we should never place value, never place worth in the things of this world. First of all, he says that the things that you and I value in this life, they are temporary. In other words, they have an expiration date. They will wear out over time. Even the things that someone may take from you, once they've got it, over time, it will lose value as well. Then Jesus says there's a danger in this because when we place so much value on them, ultimately, they have the potential of ruling our hearts. And that's why Jesus says, be careful what you place your treasure in, what your value in, because where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. And lastly, because placing such an inordinate value on them can potentially rule our hearts, it can also produce worry and anxiety in our lives as we try to figure out how in the world am I going to be able to hold on to all this stuff while at the same time trying to figure out and navigate how I'm going to acquire the additional things in life that I need. And when we worry, as Corrie Ten Boom so powerfully articulated, she says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but rather worry empties today of its strength. You see, worry in our lives as believers is a clear sign that we have lost the fact that our Heavenly Father is the provider of our daily bread. That is, the Apostle Paul reminded the believers in Philippi when he said, and my God shall supply what? All your needs according to his riches in glory. And in promising to be the supplier of our needs, Paul nor Jesus is in no way implying that God, as the author put it, will supply our daily cake. It doesn't say that. Paul says, and my God will supply what? All of our needs according to his riches and glory. And there's this prevailing thought in our world today and in many of our churches that God is under some obligation to give us cake too. How many of you like cake? You don't really like the cake. You like the icing on the cake. That's the best part of the cake. Amen. Okay, some of you are being real health conscious right now. Listen, the Lord's Prayer, which is also a part of Matthew 6, which admonishes us to pray for our daily bread, is therefore a prayer for our needs, and it is not a prayer for our greeds. If God chooses to bless you, if God chooses to bless me, beyond our daily bread, that's his decision. That's his choice. But what it does mean is that if he chooses to do that, you and I must be able to handle it carefully and responsibly. Because Jesus reminds us, to whom much is what? Given. Much more is going to be required of you. But the main reason why so much value is placed on material things, despite the fact that they are temporary, moth can inhabit them, rust can destroy them, or somebody can even break in and take what you've worked for, is that they believe that somehow acquiring these things, acquiring this stuff, is the key to our happiness and contentment, while all the while failing to realize it's all just stuff. It's all just stuff. When I was a child, there was this comedian who did this, his entire act on the topic of stuff. And by stuff, I'm talking about all the things that we have purchased over the years that we just can't seem to get rid of. And he said the only reason we have homes is so that we can have a place for our stuff. That is, until we have too much stuff. Stay with me. Some of you are going, tell them, Pastor, tell them. Then we have to go out and rent a storage unit and pay a monthly fee to put our stuff in, because now we've got new stuff and we've got no more room for the old stuff. And to be quite honest, some of the stuff that we have not seen, touched, or used in decades. Well, I'm going to have an armed guard to get me home today. Starting some mess. When our family went off to Jamaica to serve there for 3 years, was it 2 years? 2 years. This was back in 1993. Packed up some stuff, took it to Jamaica, the rest of the stuff. General Conference took it and packed it up. That was 1993, and there are still boxes today in 2019 that I have yet to open. Stuff. And the truth be told, dear friends, most of this stuff, if we threw it away, we wouldn't even miss it. It's just stuff. There is the belief in our culture today that the more stuff we get, that somehow it will improve our personal and social well-being. But nothing could be further from the truth. You see, stuff doesn't make us happy for very long. But you know what getting stuff does? It seduces us to get more stuff. And no one articulates this better, in my opinion, than Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 11. Here, Solomon gives this entire list of all the things that he has accumulated. He says, I have had a lot of wine to drink. He says, I've built many houses for myself. I've planted gardens. I've bought slaves, even though I already had slaves living in my house. I bought more slaves. He says, I bought herds and I bought flocks. I got silver. I got gold. I got male and female singers. I even put a harem together. But look at his conclusion that Solomon came to in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 through 11. He says, I denied myself what? Nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Look at verse 11. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, in other words, all the things I have accumulated through my hard work, he says, everything was what? Meaningless. A chasing after the wind. He says, nothing was gained under the sun. In other words, Solomon came to the conclusion that he had wasted a great deal of time, a great deal of resources, a great deal of money, because at the end of the day, he says, listen, all it was a waste of time. Time, by the way, he could have used in carrying out God's will in other areas of his life. And as I thought about that this week, as I was preparing this message for today, if we just took a little bit of the time that we spend working to acquire stuff and spent that time, whether it be resources or whether it be money, for the will of God and building his kingdom, what great works we could accomplish. But in our world today, in our culture, we spend most of our time, most of our resources, most of our money getting stuff, thinking that by getting the stuff, it's going to make us happy. If that were the case, why do we have to rent containers to put stuff in?
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Seduction of Stuff. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
I'm going to take a moment and just recommend that you breathe. Now, there are all kinds of breathing techniques that you can use. One is count to 10, you know, breathing in, count to 10, breathing out, kind of hold it in the middle, you know, breathing in His grace and breathing out His praise. Whatever you choose, breath is really important. And this time of year, you know, you may have a cold or you may have the flu and it's restricting your breathing. So you know just how important that is. God has given you that breath. In Acts, Paul wrote this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." And so take a moment and take a deep breath and stay encouraged.
To get more encouraging content, go to WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tapp debunks the myth that material possessions improve our personal and social well-being, as he continues with the rest of his message, The Seduction of Stuff.
Came across a poem this week, not really a poem, just a short quote by the author Ellen Goodman. Take a look at what she says. She says, "Normal is getting dressed in clothes that you buy for work and driving through traffic in a car that you are still paying for in order to get the job you need to pay for the clothes and the car and the house you leave vacant all day so you can afford to live in it." Look at that, and that's normal. Some of you came today just for that. You said, "Pastor, I can leave now. That's it. I got it." Listen, our treasure, the things we value, they determine our priorities, but they also reveal our ambitions and our affections. When we value something, we prioritize that thing. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, be careful where you place your treasure. Be careful where you place your priorities in this life. Because where your priorities are, the things that you value, there your heart will be also. If I ask you to take out a pen and paper today or your phone and just jot down a list of the top five things that you value and take a look at those things, those are the things that you and that I value. Those are the things that have our hearts. You want to know where your treasure is? Look at your bank account. Look at that statement that comes in at the end of the month to see where the money goes. I know a lot of it has to go for the regular bills that just keep us alive, but some of it goes for the cake. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 34. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or what shall you wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, those who don't know God, he's saying, those who set these things, the stuff, as priority in their lives are those who really don't have this relationship with the true God. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But he said, get your priorities straight. Seek first what? The kingdom and his righteousness, his will. And listen, all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. And I would have to replace that word things. And tomorrow would worry about its own stuff. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Look at what C.S. Lewis says, one of my favorite authors. And for those of you who know anything about C.S. Lewis, you know his story. He says, as long as this deliberate refusal to understand things from above, even, he says, where such understanding is possible, if this deliberate refusal continues, he says, it is idle talk of any final victory over materialism. Please don't miss what Lewis is saying. For he's saying simply this, that if you and I, as disciples, as citizens of the kingdom, if we don't make the decision to align our priorities with the priorities of the kingdom of God, we can talk about materialism all we want, we will always be seduced by stuff. Until we understand that as citizens of the kingdom, there are things that God values that the kingdom of this world does not value. And if you and I want to be citizens of the kingdom, real disciples, please don't miss this. I'm not talking about church members. I'm talking about disciples, followers, learners. If we really want to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, we've got to understand there is a clear distinction from what God values and what the world values. And we can't make a priority of what the world makes a priority of and think we're citizens of the kingdom of God. For there's a strong disconnect there. And Lewis says, and until you and I are willing to make that decision to align our value system to the things that God sees as important, we will be always seduced by stuff. One of my favorite prayers in Scripture next to the Lord's Prayer is the prayer of Agur in Proverbs 30. I shared it with you several years ago. Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. When you get a chance, when you get home, read verses 1 to 6 of Proverbs 30 because it gives you a good background to this prophet. But in verses 7 to 9, he prays a prayer that is antithetical to our culture today. Look at what he says. He says, two things I request of you. He's talking to God. Now, this is his prayer. He says, deprive me not before I die. In other words, Lord, before I die, I only want you to give me two things. How many of you would have a long list? Lord, before I die, I don't want you to deprive me of these 25 things. He says, remove falsehood and lies what? Far from me. In other words, don't let me lie with my life and don't let me lie with my lips. Let me be a good witness for you. He says, give me neither what? Poverty? Amen? Nor riches. What? Did we read that right? He says, don't give me poverty. In other words, don't make me poor. We're all for that. But then he says, Pastor Joseph, don't make me rich. How many of you have ever prayed, be honest, because God knows, have ever prayed not to be filthy rich, but just to be wealthy? Said, be honest now, because God knows. I don't want to be filthy rich, But there are times I've said, Lord, if it be your will. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with what? The allotted to me. In other words, give me my what? Daily bread, not cake. And I love verse 9 because he begins to unfold why he's asking and making this unusual request. Don't make me poor, but then don't make me rich. He says, lest I be full, sound familiar like Solomon? Full of what? Stuff. And deny you and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and do what? Steal, didn't I tell you? Someone can take the stuff. So don't put your value in the stuff because somebody can take it. He says, don't make me poor because I may be tempted to steal and profane the name of my God. Let's just stop there. What is he saying? He's saying, I don't trust myself. So I want you, God, to decide what I need. Because my contentment, please don't miss this, my contentment is not in my stuff. My contentment is in you. Here's the question I have for God's people today, of which I am one. Are we willing to take a serious look at the stuff in our lives? I mean, a serious look at the stuff in our lives and begin to make plans to discard those things that not only take up precious space in our homes, but they also take up precious space in our hearts because we've placed more value on them than what they're worth. When I was in high school, I played tennis. I've been playing tennis since I was 16. That's why I love tennis. I love to see young people, especially our little kids, playing tennis. Tennis is a great sport. But I was pretty decent in high school, and I won awards and trophies and had my name in the city paper a few times and all that. Ask me where that stuff is today. Go ahead. Ask me where that stuff is today. I'm glad you asked me that question. Here's my answer. I don't know. Maybe it's in those boxes that haven't been opened since 1993. But here's the point I'm making. When I first got those awards, oh, man. Listen, if we had had social media back in my day, I would have been posing with my trophies, trying to get as many likes as I can. I don't know where that stuff is, but back then I thought I was the man. Got awards, got trophies, got plaques, got letters to put on my sweater. I don't know where that stuff is. It's stuff. Jesus says, don't place your value in stuff, but place your value in something that's really worth something, and that is the kingdom. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be. If my treasure's in heaven, that means my heart is where? In heaven. And it doesn't mean when you wait until you get to heaven. We can experience heaven, the kingdom of God, right now by allowing Jesus to have reign and rule in our lives.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Seduction of Stuff. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
I've got to have something that's bigger. I've got to have something that's brighter. I've got to have something that is better than what I currently have.
When does our desire for the things that we love, even something seemingly innocent, become covetousness? Next week, you won't want to miss part 4 in this series, God versus Money, A Battle for the Heart, with his message, To Covet or Not to Covet. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.